I've been thinking about leadership a lot lately, have you? Yeah, it's in the air, isn't it? Survival is in the air. What else is in the air? What comes to mind when we bring up order, election, taxes, transition, changes, violence, uncertainty, fear, absolute fear, hope, truth, Halloween. How do we learn about leadership? What models do we learn from? What are our children learning from current leaders? Amen. I think that's our sermon for today. We can all go to coffee hour. So, yeah, I've been thinking about leadership with absolute fear and with absolute hope. I cannot let go of hope. Growing up in a household of strong women, my first role models were my grandmother, my great aunts, and my mother. My great aunt Victoria was one of the first women to own her printing business in our small town. My grandmother, a young widow, was a school teacher raising four children in a small teacher salary. My mother worked as a door-to-door salesperson and ran a little grocery store on the side. They were hard-working women facing great challenges. But if you had asked me then whether I considered them leaders, and even if I wanted to grow up to be like them, sadly, I'd have to admit that the answer would have been no. My idea of leader was not a grandmother who was soft-spoken and who forgave everyone who wronged her. My idea of a leader was not my aunt or my mother who never really made any money because they were soft-hearted and always gave in when someone asked for more credit. I remember being in middle school and listening to the presidential candidate speeches. Our teacher had us pick a candidate, learn the platform, and then write our own speeches and deliver them to the whole school. I picked the socialist candidate. You're surprised. His name was Salvador Allende, and he was the candidate for the popular unity, Unidad Popular. I remember the thrill and nerve-wracking experience of delivering his speech, acting as if I were that person, this tiny little girl in a school uniform in a Catholic school, trying to imitate the voice of this man and trying to convey the promises for our future. I remember promising that our copper mines would be nationalized. I remember saying that the government would support the arts and that schools would teach our indigenous languages instead of English and French. Leadership, I learned, required charisma, a clear and relevant message, and a connection with the people above all. Leadership, I learned, could also be so dangerous. You could be singled out. You could be persecuted. You could be killed. The year Salvador Allende got elected, we took to the streets with banners and flags and homemade signs, but not everyone celebrated. And less than 3 years after he won the election, he was shot inside the presidential palace. It was as if democracy, and in fact it was, democracy being shot in the heart, being exterminated. Right after the military coup, a young girl's father was killed, and she and her mother were held in various detention centers and later were expelled from the country. That little girl returned to her homeland to finish her medical degree and support the victims of the dictatorship. During the 80s, she held several social services positions, including the National AIDS Commission, the Pan American Health Organization, and became Minister of Health. In the mid-90s, she specialized in topics related to national defense, military strategy, and continental defense. She became an advisor to the Minister of Defense, and in 2000, that girl, that woman, Michelle Bachelet, became the health minister, and in 2002 became the defense minister, making her the first woman to hold this position in Chile and in Latin America. Sound familiar? In 2006, Michelle Bachelet became the first female president of the Republic of Chile. During her campaign, the media focused on what? Her appearance, her hair, her weight, the fact that she was not a Catholic, and that she was separated from her husband at the time with three kids. She was asked how she would treat those who were responsible for the death of her father, for those who tortured her and her mother, how she would exact vengeance. People expected her to talk about how much she and her mother suffered, to justify war tribunals and summary executions. But instead, she said, this country needs healing. The people need healing. She said that justice without the possibility of reconciliation was dangerous, not democratic at all. People said that she was too soft, too forgiving, too womanlike. Sound familiar? Many said she was not equipped to be a leader because she did not have a hard hand. But eventually the people understood. Eventually the people cleared the path, cleared the mire that the media was creating. And the people heard a message of hope in the midst of chaos. The people heard a message of hope for the working class, for the middle class, of much needed healing, a message with a heart. The women heard and saw themselves in her. Leaders could be mothers. Leaders could be survivors of trauma. Leaders could be orphans, resilient dreamers, women who changed their minds and who ended unhappy marriages, who questioned the existence of God. Women with compassionate, forgiving hearts and skill to lead the country. In 2006, Michelle took the country by storm. It was not easy, but she did it. And you know what? She did it in 2006, and she did it again in 2014. This tremendous shift in cultural values required a new social covenant. It required looking back in order to move forward. It required gratitude, hope, forgiveness. In her book, Salsa, Soul, and Spirit, the writer Juana Bordas calls this a Sankofa moment, the moment that you look back to gain wisdom. This spring, I will be leading a workshop series based on this book, and I wanted to give you a preview of the main topics to pique your interest. Hopefully, you'll join us. Salsa, Soul, and Spirit addresses leadership from a multicultural perspective. It includes wisdom and insights from the Latina, African American, and Native American traditions. It offers new models of leadership in a new leadership paradigm that incorporates spirituality, interconnectedness, interdependency, compassion, hope, and forgiveness as leadership skills that are valued and necessary. No longer is linear thinking, aggressiveness, hard-handed leadership to be the only effective tool. To remain relevant, our leadership models must reflect the larger society, a society that more and more looks like a mosaic. James Burns describes leadership as a collective process linked to social change with the purpose of enhancing the well-being of human existence. Leadership implies that ability to mobilize people and engage them in a process in which both the leader and those who are working with the leader raise one another to higher levels of motivation and morality. As a Unitarian Universalist minister, I resonate with this approach because it moves us to the center. It moves the people into the center, into a model of collective and collaborative leadership. I want to pause here for a few minutes and ask you to reflect with me about leadership. So many of us are on the edge, nervous, afraid about the elections. So much is at stake. At times I feel so discouraged, frozen in disbelief by what I see on the TV screen. And yet so many of us are still in the trenches, practicing leadership skills to bring some hope to our communities. I know there are people here active in the League of Women Voters. I know that some of you are participating in voter registration drives or speaking with a cashier at the supermarket about the importance of voting. I want to thank you, and I want to thank all of you for looking back, for having that Sankofa moment, and being grateful for that right to vote, for the people who cleared the path so we could make a change in society today. These are trying times. In the midst of relentless violence against Black people, most recently in El Cajon, where Alfred Olango was shot to death by police, we are faced with a presidential election that highlights that in 2016, sexism and misogyny are alive and well. I'd like to ask you to turn to your neighbor for just one moment and share what's in your heart about this election. How are you doing? What makes you feel hopeless? And what makes you feel hopeful? Just take a minute. Well, it looks like we have a lot to say about the election. I was afraid that I was going to ask you to reflect and there would be dead silence and I would hear the crickets. All right. So let's come back. Let's come back and keep the conversation going, and let us send energy to people who are on the road, people who got on the bus and took that extra step to help in raising awareness about how important this election is. There are members of our community who are on the road, and we send them good wishes and wish them safe travels back home. So getting back to Salsa, Soul, and Spirit, here's the preview of our workshop, which includes some form of dancing, poetry, drawing, short videos, acting, and small group discussions, and good food. There are 8 principles guiding multicultural leadership. The first one I mentioned, Sankofa, learning from the past. Sankofa means return, go back, seek, and retrieve. The symbol of Sankofa is a bird with its feet facing forward, but its neck craning to look back, to give thanks to our ancestors, to become aware of our roots, to gain strength and courage when we feel defeated and hopeless. Today, we look back and are grateful for those who struggled and fought for our right to vote. I look back at the history of Chile, and I'm grateful for the courage of Michelle Bachelet, and most of all, the courage of the people to vote for her and elect her. We recognized in her a leader, despite the media, despite the sexism, despite the misogyny. In this Sankofa moment, I am grateful for women in politics everywhere, and especially in this, my adopted country, for giving me a new image of leadership that allows me to recognize in the compassionate temperament and spiritual traditions of my grandmother, my great aunts, and my own mother, true leaders. Come to find out, 2 of the 3 were suffragettes. All 3 of them were registered voters and were responsible for electing the first candidate for what was called then the Radical Party. These were radical women, but I didn't know that. I am grateful that I know today. As a relatively new citizen of this country, I just became a citizen less than 6 months ago. And I registered to vote, and I also registered to vote here in California. And I am just so proud of that. I am so thankful for this opportunity. You know, in my mid-50s, I will vote for the first time in my life. I don't want to take that for granted. I really want to thank those ancestors, as well as all the people who have supported me and who helped me get through all the hoops so that I could obtain citizenship, and now I can help other new citizens register to vote. With Salsa Soul and Spirit, we'll also talk about moving from I to we, becoming we cultures. We can share everything. We can work together so that everyone benefits. We can become collectives, and we can practice inclusiveness. We can also practice radical hospitality. Mi casa es su casa is a belief in the Latino community. And so many of us might have seen placards and little signs, tiles that say, mi casa es su casa, my home is your home. And I consider this our spiritual home. In the face of oppression and rampant violence, generosity and radical hospitality can become the antidote. We can become the antidote. And recently, we invited our neighbors from the Sikh Gurdwara to come and watch a film together and have a discussion afterwards. So many of them expressed gratitude for this community, for you, for this congregation being a sanctuary in the midst of so much hatred. Generosity is the glue that holds us together. Today, we are grateful for opportunities to practice generosity of spirit. Multicultural leadership also recognizes that leaders are among equals. Leaders rise from the midst of the people and are accountable to the people. A leader treats everyone with respect and fairness. In the Latina community, we know this as personalismo, being an honest leader, able to accomplish extraordinary things while remaining ordinary people and never forgetting where we came from. In the African American community, leaders are said to walk their talk, right? Deliver on the promises. Leaders are guardians of public values. Dr. Antonia Pantoja believed that the whole purpose of leadership is to exercise one's power and knowledge to change society, to change those things that are unjust and inequitable. Leaders are community stewards. Community stewards derive their power from the communities they serve. They work in partnership. Rather than jumping ahead to make a decision for people, the leader listens. The leader facilitates. The leader brings forth collective wisdom. Creating a community of leaders encourages everyone to grow, to participate, to develop a shared vision. All my relatives, la familia, we are a tribe. At the heart of collective cultures is the spiritual understanding of interdependence and relation. Recent scientific research proposes that we are indeed all related. We come from the same Ethiopian grandmother. Yeah, all of us. That's right. We're cousins. Surprise. Seeing and treating people as our relatives, as part of our own village, as part of our tribe, offers us a different model of leadership. We can practice interconnectedness. Last but not least, multicultural leadership highlights gratitude, hope, and forgiveness. These principles can transform oppression into enduring faith and a sense of well-being for everyone. Practicing gratitude opens our heart and encourages us to be more generous, more optimistic, and more hopeful, especially during hard times. This is akin to the practice that I mentioned before within the Sikh tradition of Chardi Kala, being loving, being hopeful amidst the fear, amidst the chaos. We are grateful. We are joyful. We look forward. Keeping hope alive has been a powerful force among people who have been oppressed and removed from their lands. Forgiveness and reconciliation. In the new year, Cherokee people go on a pilgrimage to a body of water to wash away any thought or action that does not contribute to another's well-being. They forgive themselves and each other in order to begin again, refreshed. Today, we open our hearts in the spirit of forgiveness and reconciliation. We call to mind any action that hurt another, and we forgive ourselves in order to begin again in love. Beloveds, we are a spiritual collective. We are leaders who are soft-spoken and loud, charismatic and down-to-earth, members of many tribes brought together by a need to do together what we cannot do alone. As a Unitarian Universalist congregation, we are committed to social justice and to leaving a legacy of generosity, accountability, interconnectedness, forgiveness, and hope for our children. Let me end with the words of Juana Bordas. Like the radiant and multicolored flowers in a garden, the multi-hued birds or a luminescent rainbow, diversity represents life's variety and unending beauty. To craft our global future, this magnificent world must be our vision. Multicultural leaders must anchor our future in our most noble aspirations for the cultural renaissance that is amidst. This shared and inspiring vision will foster a sense of our collective human destiny, one that transcends cultural differences and, like a prayer, lodges goodwill in people's hearts. Multicultural leaders will be the stewards of this vision, using it as a source of creative power and energy, as a fountain of courage and hope. Let it be said by the children of the seventh generation that we fulfilled the Hopi prophecies and we became the universal tribe, the rainbow people who reflected beauty and, just as they said, restored the earth, brought peace and understanding. These are the words of the Hopi elders. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration. We are the ones we've been waiting for. Amen. Blessed be.